welcome into the CHGO White Sox podcast and post-game show presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Welcome into Studio B of the CHGO Studios here in the West Loop. I am your host, Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean underscore W underscore Anderson. Alongside me, as always, is Herb Lawrence.
Hello.
Follow him on Twitter at Ecknerwall23. You can follow the show at CHGO underscore White Sox. The White Sox have lost now 8 straight games. In the past 11 games, they have scored a grand total of 22 runs. Dallas Keuchel was not able to get it done. White Sox pitching was not able to get it done, walking over 10 Royals today. And the bats stayed silent, getting shut out by fucking Daniel Lynch, Brady Singer, whole bunch of bums.
Whoever they brought in. But start off on a good note. Our own KPW, I hope you don't mind us calling you KPW, and our own KPW, before the game, when pregame, said that Daniel Lynch will throw 6 shutout innings. And that's exactly what Daniel Lynch did. KPW, I don't know if Canada they have the lottery, but here in the States we do. I just need 6 numbers from 0 to about 65 in order. Give me them. Write in the thing, please. Thanks, KPW. You're my man.
Yeah, well, I think the lottery's going on right now. The drawing's going on right now, so you'll need numbers for tomorrow, which KPW's luck might run out by that point. But I see, hello, darkness, my old friend from D-Chan, Tyler asking.
There's a lot of people here. I'm surprised that we have so many people here.
Going through the 5 stages of grief, I think I'm at depression. So this is fun. It's the damn injuries again. Bring back Herb Schneider. Herb, this is such a difficult...
Herb Schneider. Herm.
Herb. Yeah, he also misspelled Schneider. It's okay.
Don't bring me back.
It's okay. He's a stupid donkey. I'm at a loss for words, Herb. This is so bad.
It's funny. It's like... it's a dead-ass team. We know, like, it's... and I'm going to say the thing I said yesterday that I hate. It is early. And the White Sox are, not, you know, Tigers and Guardians are not running away with this damn division. So we can wake up next week and the White Sox are in first place. They should be. They're the best team in this damn division on paper. And those some bitches, all 28 of them, and the manager, and their general manager, and everybody in the front office, and that owner, are not doing their jobs. They're all failing. Every single one of those people are failing at their jobs. It's piss poor. It's lifeless. These guys need to have some pride in what they do. You can see out there. I know Tim's not trying to do these airs, but damn it. That's 7 in 7 days. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. And if Tony is alive and awake, I would have Tim to either accept his 1-game suspension so he can sit out, or sit him out yourself, because that's unacceptable. 7 errors. I don't care if you're not trying to do it. You are the shortstop of the Chicago White Sox. He made 6 errors in 2020 season. And yes, it was only 60 games. We haven't even come close to 60 games yet. And he has all these damn errors. It's just something has to be done. I'm not that person that you go in and you flip over the spread after the game and yell and blah, 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 blah. But every guy has to look themselves in the mirror when they get home. Say, what am I doing? How am I not helping this team? What can I do to improve this team? And let me do that. Extra batting practice, less batting practice. Show up early, show up late. I don't care. Do different from what you're doing right now. Because that Royals team is not better than you. That Guardians team is not better than you. And that Tigers team is not better than you. And neither of those Twins. But all of them. If the Tigers win today, guess who's in last place?
The White Sox.
Damn straight. That should never happen.
MLB leading 20th error on the White Sox. MLB leading 7th error on Tim Anderson. It's pathetic, honestly, what we've been watching for the past couple of games. And you're right. The Guardians aren't better than the White Sox. The Royals aren't better than the White Sox. The Twins aren't better than the White Sox. The Tigers aren't better than the White Sox. And the White Sox know that, and I think all of those other teams know that. We know that there's a target on the back of the White Sox this year. We knew that going into this year. You are the reigning AL Central champions, and so far we have not seen a performance like that. This is not an AL Central defending team. This is not that effort on a day-to-day basis. So you see that effort from guys, you know, like Jake Berger. I feel like Jake Berger put out a really good effort today. He did have an error on the third baseline that extended an inning, but he was the only guy that it felt like was giving consistent at-bats up there today, and that's something that just is extremely frustrating, that the eighth and ninth and seventh guy for the Royals can, you know, work a walk at any point in this game. And the White Sox just couldn't get base runners. They couldn't put pressure on the bases. I'm not sure if they had a runner in scoring position this game.
I mean, they did. It was Grandal started off his inning with a double. Hustle double. He barely got to second. And then we have a poor at-bat by A.J. Pollock. Strikes out. The deep hit ball by Jake Berger. And then the last guy gets out. But I want to speak about that Jake Berger thing because it goes to my larger point about White Sox pitching. Jake Berger hit the ball 105 miles per hour. It goes out in 29 of 30 stadiums. And you see that. You know that Jake Berger got all that ball. And it doesn't go out. The White Sox pitchers see all that. They understand what's going on early in this season. And yet, 11 goddamn walks. Of the damn Royals! 11 walks to the Royals, who came in, Sean said, the fourth lowest walk rate in the league. 11 walks. Throw the ball down the middle. Let Michael A. Taylor hit it as far as Michael A. Taylor can hit it. It will be in the ballpark. No home runs today. Can we at least understand what's going on in baseball and adhere to that? We're playing poor baseball. But you need to know, okay, the ball's dead. We're doing this humidor thing. Throw the ball over the plate, Dallas Keuchel. Throw the ball over the plate, Kyle Crick. There were so many non-competitive pitches by Kyle Crick. I don't understand why he's still on the team. I knew he was throwing that slider. We predicted it. We knew he was going to be in the left-handed batter's box when he threw it. No one's looking for that. It starts in the damn left-handed batter's box and goes out. I don't understand the game plan. And if the Royals were better than them, like if they're losing this week to the Angels, I don't think the Angels are better than them. But if they get beat by Shohei, they get beat by Mike Trout, by Rendon, you tip the cap. You're like, that team is real. There's no one in this Royals team. You're like, man, no one. That guy is. I mean, Salvador kills you, but you're not scared of Salvador Perez. You eventually might be scared of Bobby Witt, but not right now.
And if you have the scouting report on Salvador Perez, which it feels like they at least used today, they didn't throw him any fastballs, you can neutralize his bat. He is not that scary of a player. And here we are looking at the box score. Adalberto Mondesi had a walk. Oliveras, who pinched ran for Mondesi, had a walk. Michael A. Taylor had two walks, and Nicky Lopez had two walks. Right there, that is six walks from the 7, 8, and 9 hitter. 11 walks from this Royal team. They had a walk percentage that was the fourth worst in baseball coming into this game. I think there's a stat from Patrick Nolan that two of the 16 games that the White Sox have played this year, they have outwalked their opponent. They get outwalked today 11-2. There is no approach here that is actually happening from the White Sox. Jose Abreu had a really nice at-bat in the first inning. He was fighting off pitches. I think he fought off about like 12 pitches. But T.A. and Andrew Vaughn got Daniel Lynch an easy two outs at the start of the game. Just four pitches and two outs. And that's what the White Sox need to start avoiding. They need to avoid being so aggressive. They need to work counts. They need to see these pitches. They need to have a approach up there, and you're not seeing it. Right now, it's this ultra-aggressive approach, and it is not working. You can hit the ball hard. They hit the ball harder than the Royals did today. 95 miles per hour exit velocity or higher is a hard hit ball. The White Sox had 9 hard hit balls today. The Royals had 8. All right. So the White Sox are hitting the ball hard. They are still, you know, mashing left and right. But we've talked about this. I think on Sunday they had 14 hard hit balls. I think on Thursday they had 14 hard hit balls. They are still losing. They have not gone up to the plate and said, hey, we need to get runners on. We need to start putting pressure on. And the only time I have felt that in this 8-game losing streak is when Andrew Vaughn had the bases loaded. He rips a single into left field. And then here comes Trevor Larnach with, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s arm or Vladimir Guerrero's arm throwing out Jose Abreu at home plate. And that's the end of that entire threat right there. The White Sox have not been threatening with the bats. They have not been threatening people with base runners. The White Sox, it has just been, I mean, I don't even, I feel like we overuse apoplectic. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
I'm already there. I'm up here.
It is bashing your head into a wall over and over and over again, looking for the same results constantly. Lawrence is laughing at Moncada about to come back in that, like, Donald Glover with the pizza skit.
I mean, that's a fantastic comment. Classic. Right
there. Good job, Kat.
Yeah. So,
And Jake Cutter. Is it Cutter or Cutter?
Cutter, I think.
The last time the White Sox scored 0 runs and walked 11 opposing batters was September 4th, 1975. Also a home game versus the Royals. And the attendance was 1,500 people. Oh
my God. And I think it should be 1,500 tomorrow at, you know, the 1 a.m. game or 1 p.m. game tomorrow. The Sox and Royals moved up from 6:10 to 1:10. We'll see, you know, Luis Robert. But can we talk about this? I think it's the 8th inning. And the fourth spot comes around, and Yasmani Grandal is supposed to be up. And here comes Reese McGuire for a pinch hit opportunity. You're down 6-0. This guy hit a double earlier, and now you're switching him to his better side, the left-handed side, and you pull him? What the hell is this? You're down 6-0. Let's score some runs. Let's start any momentum at all. Maybe let's try to put up a fight in the 8th and 9th inning. It's not like you could come back and score some runs. Let's see. The Mets were down 2-0 in the 8th inning against the Cardinals yesterday. They scored 5 runs and won the game. You can show fight late in the innings, even if you're down. I think it's just tough for the White Sox to realize that. Where's the rallying speech here? Where's the guys? Come on. You know, you're hitting the ball hard. You're seeing it well. You're putting good one on it. Let's get some guys on base and let's drive them home. There is nothing. That whole dugout's dead. Tony La Russa looked lost when they're booing Kyle Crick for throwing ball after ball after ball after ball. This team doesn't have a life right now. This team doesn't have a pulse. Tim Anderson's out here making boneheaded plays left and right. Jake Berger's bobbling balls. And here's Dallas Keuchel getting 11 whips. And I feel apoplectic about that. I understand his swing and miss right here. But here's another inning and here's another game and here's another situation where Dallas Keuchel just isn't bailed out by his defense left and right. Or, you know, hard hit balls or soft hit balls are just put in the wrong space and White Sox defenders can't get there to get the outs. And, you know, that's how 2-0 happened and ended up happening in the 4th inning. And it just felt like the White Sox had just unraveled from there. And they gave up after being down 2-0.
Yeah, and to your point, like, you're already giving 100%. You're giving the night off or the day off tomorrow to Yasmani Grandal. At least he's not catching tomorrow. What is another at bat? What's another bat? If you want to put Reese McGuire in for the 9th inning, smooth, do it. But let him get his ass at bat. Maybe he can spark something. Maybe he gets a hit off of Brady Singer in the 8th, and the team starts working. You know, sometimes you just need to see the ball drop. 5 hits, piss poor. Just piss poor. I don't know what they need to do. I don't know if they need to sacrifice a chicken. They need to eat some chicken. Whatever they need to do, they need to find a way. Because they're much better than what they're showing. And I see the excuses. It's cold out there. Royals didn't find it cold. They found 6 runs. They found a way to get it done. I look around MLB, people scoring double digits. The Brewers scored in double digits. The Padres almost scored in double digits. Like, people are scoring runs, so it's available to do. You can hit, you can get runs. I just don't. Oh, there it is. Sean with a great one. At least we found who our DH is, TA7. I mean, man is a butcher right now. I don't know if he has the yips.
0-for-4 today with
something
TKs,
on his mind. Be a professional.
I don't think it's the yips.
Be a professional.
He ends up making that play in the 8th inning. He's diving on his stomach, making the flip. Like, let's not be ridiculous here. I don't think he has the yips.
I mean, seven errors. These errors are easy. These are not like errors of like you're just throwing the ball away because it was a tough play.
The yips is a real thing. Rick Ankiel lost his pitching career because of the yips. Tim Anderson right now doesn't have the yips. He's not unable to perform his job. He is just performing at a below average level. I don't think he's hiding an injury. I mean, what's the injury there of one bouncing off the heel of his glove? That's just poor defensive positioning. He needs to get his ass down and follow the ball and have it go into his glove. I mean, like, there's just stuff that I think it's part laziness. I think it's part, like, you know, thinking you're the shit here. I mean, we talked about it. There was a lazy throw that he had that ended up short-arming or short-hopping Jose, and he, you know, he wasn't able to make the pick there.
He had air, too. Jose Abreu had an error on that play. I think that was in the first inning, wasn't it?
There's something wrong there.
It was just...
This whole game blended together. And was it's just
a whole thing of shit.
It was after after that burger flyout, 105 off the bat, 34 launch angle, 403 distance, an expected batting average of 850, and here comes the left fielder just parking underneath it and catching at the wall. At that point, I was so filled with annoyance at that, and I don't even think the game was, you know, out of reach at that point. I think it was still 0-0 at that point.
So Fred just brought up how the Twins just won. I just am looking at it over here on the old Twitter machine.
It was 4-3.
Can't show that on the on our stream here, but basically, let me just show this to you off camera. You could do the play by play.
Well, here, let me set this up because Herb told me about this. If the Tigers win, the White Sox fall to last place. Javi Baez hit a go ahead homer that put them up 4-3. So the Twins just won, and now Lawrence is going to show me this, and we're going to give a play by play off of his screen from Twitter.
It's 4-3.
Okay,
bottom of nine.
Bottom nine
in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
We've got Sano on at the dish.
Okay, Sano at the dish. Tigers pitching 4-3. Here comes the pitch, and it has
frozen.
Frozen. My pitch.
Let it go. See what I did there, friends?
It's a good bit. Hitting the right field gap, goes over the right fielder off Glostman's glove, bounces off the wall. He picks it up on the warning track, throws it in, runner rounding third, throw home, bounces in the infield grass, and now the runner's going to third. Oh, they're caught in a rundown. Sano's going to left and right, and it goes into left field, and the Twins are going to win. Here comes one run, 4-4. Sano lumbering around. He's safe, and they win 5-3.
Little league home run for Miguel Sano.
The White Sox never can just put a ball in play and the defense fucks up.
Oh, that's
haven't
different
seen
guy
that
than Sano?
Once it was not, in the eight-game losing streak.
It wasn't an inside-the-park homer, but it was a two-run whatever.
I mean, that guy looked like Sano.
Technically, the White Sox are tied for last place with the Detroit Tigers now at 6-10. The Minnesota Twins are 9-8, and they are ahead by 2.5 games over the White Sox.
Wild.
Ooh. All right, so who's bringing their kid in the clubhouse this time? That's what Kat said.
Oh, that's good. I just, I'm glad Kat has joined. Yeah, she's got some good.
Kat's got some zingers in the stuff old in there. Comment.
Appreciate
chat
you.
Here.
Yeah, you're bringing some levity to a situation where we're just like, I didn't know if I can muster the anger because it's once you get to a point.
I mean, after the Buxton thing, I thought I couldn't.
You just like
get there again.
Go numb, and you're like, I don't want to get angry again. It's tiresome. I get drained by being angry. I don't want to be an angry person. I'm generally a decent person, a nice person. But just thinking about this game again, and you guys care. We care. We care about the players. We care about our team. We've gone through this whole rebuild to be promised that we're going to be competing for a championship. They didn't do what they needed to do in the offseason. We were pissed, but we watched the first couple games like, all right, here we go. This team's ready to go. They won the first three series. We're like, all right. Even though we had a shitty offseason, this team is overcoming their general manager's lack of action, their owner's lack of action, their terrible manager. They're battling. Go on the road. Let's beat these teams. Let's put these teams out of our way. Let's go for a 10-game lead over the Guardians, over the Twins, over the Royals. Nope. Haven't won a game versus those people. Not one.
2-9 versus the AL Central, says John Frolich in the chat. It's in
not one goddamn game versus the damn Guardians, the Twins, and the Royals. I was worried about the Tigers. I'm still worried about the Tigers. They might be better than us.
I don't know. I have no idea. Matt Latos is saying, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. I feel just stupid. I don't understand how we were so on this team after going 93-69. They didn't lose any major pieces outside of Carlos Rodon, Salute. Which is huge. But you really look at this team, the issue isn't Carlos Rodon not being here. It's the players that have been here not producing. TA's not producing.
I see KPW gave some numbers. Let me write them down.
Abreu's not producing. Grandal's not producing. Moncada's hurt. Robert's hurt, and he wasn't producing before he came. So, I mean, it's just they need to wake up here.
Can't use zero, KPW.
Yeah, KPW gave you 0, 8, 14, 21, 37.
Yeah, this was a while ago. I was saving this for later.
You should probably just do 1, 8, 14, 21, 37, and 50. Tyler is asking, Conforto still out there? Why not give him a call? Something, anything. He had season-ending surgery, so he will not be playing for any team in the year 2022. So...
send a tweet to myself.
For the KPW lottery things?
Yep.
Thanks. I think I might put money on your lottery numbers on PointsBet. The best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you do that right now, you'll get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. That's not it. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from CHGO Locker. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from CHGO Locker, all for making more than a $50 deposit at PointsBet. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com. And we will help you out. PointsBet is your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. Introducing PointsBet's newest feature, the live NBA same-game parlay. For the first time ever, you can build the perfect live NBA same-game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. And if you want more, you can also boost your live same-game parlays. You can watch live parlay live and boost live with PointsBet. Online sign-up is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish all from your phone. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Bet against the White Sox and live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. I'm so pissed off because reading that PointsBet ad just makes me think of all my bets. Herb, you bet today.
Yes.
You had a White Sox winner and over 8.5 runs.
I mean, the Royals participated. They're like, okay, let's get our portion. White Sox, can you give me 3? No? Okay, cool. Awesome. Just so shitty that the White Sox decide to be the worst team in fielding, and they're the worst team. I don't know. I don't know why they can't hit anymore. It's just so the Monstars came and took their talent, all their talent, and then next week, you know who we're playing? The Cubs.
Yeah,
that team is no goddamn good either.
And I will not take this slander real quick.
We'll lose. Shep saying something?
Yeah, first off, we're going to Shep because Shep's nice, saying something nice, but Baloney's talking shit right now. Sox have stunk ever since Tusk became a talking point. This is not a coincidence. Okay, we try to have a little fun, show you guys a little bit of ourselves about, oh, hey, this is the music we like, you know, this is the music we enjoy. And you know what? I share a fantastic, overlooked album by a quintessential band, Fleetwood Mac. Everyone's overlooking the production that went in and the money that went into this album. 1979's Tusk by Fleetwood Mac is a masterpiece of an album. It's a very well thought out album, unlike the White Sox plate approach in 2022. So I just say, you know, it's just a coincidence that Tusk and the White Sox losing streak coincide. That's all. Shep saying, sounding good, female, and Herb have dearly missed you, your goddams in real life. They are just as strong and fierce as ever, Shep. Thank you for jumping in to the chat. So, Herb, I want to talk to you about a game changer. Strava CBD coffee is a game changer. I need so much of it right now. I need a tap of it into my arm. I need to be calmed down. I need to get rid of this stress.
Get some CBD in your system.
I need some CBD. It's helped thousands of people to improve their overall wellness and quality of life. Strava delivers delicious, fresh roasted specialty coffee infused with organic broad spectrum CBD. CBD from hemp does not make you high or hungry, but it does offer real benefits that can help you. It can help you feel alert and focused without the jitters. Hey, that could help the White Sox airs issues. You can live your day more balanced with less anxiety and fewer aches and pains. That's to all the White Sox fans watching this 8-game losing streak. Plus, inducing CBD into your daily routine can help you enjoy more restful sleep so when you wake up feeling your best. You don't have to think about this 8-game losing streak.
I mean, we have to think about it because when we're waking up tomorrow, we're pretty much coming here and doing pregame.
Well, okay. Well, I'm trying to sell people on the product here, Herb. Not trying to be a bummer.
You could take some to numb all the pain tomorrow.
There you go. The best part, Strava, is all about quality.
Tomorrow too.
And everything you're going to numb yourself with is in small batch and fresh shipped and straight to your door. Strava also offers concentrated full spectrum CBD tinctures for those looking for a more traditional CBD format with powerful entourage of effects of benefits. CHGO listeners can save 25% off their entire purchase when you use code CHGO25. That's 25% off your entire order at StravaCraftCoffee.com when you use code CHGO25 at checkout. Discount coupon valid on non-subscription purchases only, one use per customer. Already love Strava? Subscribe and save with the Strava Coffee Club. With Strava, you're in control. Save on your favorite coffees and have them automatically delivered to your home or office on your preferred schedule. Again, CHGO25, that's 25% off your order at StravaCraftCoffee.com. Right. Fred saying, I think we need a track by track breakdown of Tusk. Maybe it will turn things around.
Please not.
Do not tempt me because I absolutely will. Herb's now showing me a photo on my phone.
Do you know that photo? This is from Kevin Kaduk, our content manager. Do you know what that show is called?
That's the Waltons. No,
it's called Eight is Enough.
Eight is Enough.
Do you get why you did that?
Hey, K-Duck, I was going to use that tomorrow for the headline for the pregame show. Eight is enough.
Just use the picture. Don't even put the headline. Yeah. Just use the picture, Dick Van Patten, and Eight is Enough. I watched that show, not live. I watched it like 20 Ames. Years after it came on.
I was watching it live.
It still goes, man.
Yeah, I'm old. Eight is Enough is pretty solid. Well, I like Jimbo's comment. You want to talk about that?
Maybe some of CB Nick's nose candy can revise this team.
Nose candy is a great term to not call it cocaine. 80s?
We can back off the coke for our players, Jimbo. It's not that necessary.
It worked for the 86 Mets.
It worked for the 86 Mets. It worked for the 81 Cardinals. Funny enough, Keith Hernandez on both teams.
It didn't work for the Bulls pre-Michael Jordan or during Michael Jordan's rookie year.
Cocaine Circus. Let's bring that back to Chicago. The Chicago Cocaine Circus. We got Justin saying, I hate my life.
Don't hate your life, Justin.
Yeah, the White Sox.
You got the Boston Red Sox, too.
Can we chat about this, Herb?
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought, this is a marathon. You've always thought every single game
I thought
matters.
It was a sprint, yes.
Yeah, I try not to stress out in situations like this.
Yes.
Just because weird shit happens in baseball.
It does.
Weird... stretches happen in baseball. Mm-hmm. Tony La Russa's last 8-game losing streak came back in September of 2007, but his last 7-game losing streak came in the year he won the World Series in 2011. So losing streaks don't mean you're a bad team. It could mean bad luck. It could mean bad coaching. And thankfully, this stuff's happening in the beginning of the season. I don't want to freak out. I don't want to be saying, I hate my life. And apparently the Red Sox just got walked off. So Justin hates his life for two different reasons now.
God, you picked some terrible teams.
People saying, going through the stages of grief here. What is your message here to calm people down, if any?
Dylan Cease. That's my message. He's going to pitch well, but I have no faith in the hitting. So it's going to be a game where you see better results because of there's not going to be a lot of Royals on the bases because Dylan's going to be dominant on the mound tomorrow morning. But can the White Sox muster anything against Zach Greinke? I mean, short and quick, Zach Greinke is going to bring the ball to you over the plate. What can you do? Do you have pride? Do you understand what's going on with your team right now? Somehow, some way, scratch out a victory tomorrow. Somehow, some way. That's the only message of hope that I have for the White Sox fans out there. We're going to be enjoying times in summer, going to the games. We're looking forward to those, but this is a slog we're going through. It's tough. I got tickets on Friday and Saturday. I'm not going on Friday. The only reason I'm going on Saturday, giving away the hockey jersey, which doesn't fit me. They have a medium and an extra large. If any of you guys who are CHGO people,
yeah, we could work it in.
Who are actually all CHGO members, I'll give you one. I'll give you the jersey if you ask nicely in the Discord, not here. Ask in the Discord, so because that's the only way where we know that you are all CHGO member. So that's the only reason I'm going. And Ohtani and Trout, I'm not going for the White Sox. I'm going for that, the camaraderie with the people at the ballpark, and that's it. So I guess my message is enjoy the times you get to spend at the ballpark because the times you're watching this team actually on TV, it's shit. Like, but even though there's bad times, if I go to the game and they lose to the Angels by 10 runs, I still have an enjoyable time at the ballpark because the people around me are always fun.
So,
and I'm going to be drunk too.
That's a great point.
And probably
right there.
High.
The best thing,
not Coke.
The best thing, Jimbo. Definitely not Coke. Watch out for Jimbo.
Jimbo, I sat next to Jim, and you didn't even offer me. You Jim, talk about this Coke.
You did mention,
didn't even offer me.
You did mention he went to the bathroom a lot during that game.
One time.
There's a question. There's a comment here from Melissa saying, even if Dylan gives up zero runs, you can't win them. You can't win a game 0-0. Steve Stone said something like that. He said that, you know, White Sox need a stopper tomorrow. They need a guy to go out and throw, you know, zero runs. And I'm just like, how the fuck do you win a game 0-0? You need to hit the damn ball.
You didn't
like,
say that. You screamed that. Our Cubs people heard it across the hall. You had a bat in your hand, too. I was scared of Sean.
I was a little nervous.
Yelling.
Yeah, I like called it
at
out.
At the top of his, at the top of your voice. I was like, ooh, shit, Sean's about to kill somebody. I hope it's not me.
It's frustrating because it's like, this isn't the issue. The issue isn't Dallas Keuchel here. The issue isn't Lucas Giolito. The issue isn't even Vince Velasquez. It's not Dylan Cease. It's not the bullpen. It is hitting. You've scored 22 runs in the last 11 games. And I see people saying, you know, fire the hitting coach. They're not firing anybody. It's April. Let's just relax here. Especially not the manager. That's the last person to get fired. You even hear the GM biting his tongue not to throw the manager under the bus after throwing the best hitter in baseball right now, a fastball, when that was the only pitch that could possibly be coming. But we mentioned the hitting coach. Let's go to the hitting coach's comments. This is from, I believe, after the Cleveland series. This is from James Fegan. Frank Minichino in The Athletic, April 25th. He said, we're getting slider to death. We've been getting off speed to death. We've been more aggressive, especially on the fastball, and teams have recognized that. And now they're going to try and make us have patience. They're going to tease us in and out of the zone, especially with off speed. If you're not taking your walks, you're falling into their plan. So, Herb, this made me violently angry when I read this during the game because, again, let me just remind White Sox fans, the White Sox were outwalked today 11-2. So, I don't understand this being a comment from Cleveland. You have now played, this is your fourth game since that series. You have had a day off in between those three games you lost to Minnesota. You're not getting slider to death. You are just being impatient. You didn't get slider to death today by Daniel Lynch. He threw 44% fastballs. What they did was just use your aggression against you. Let's look at Daniel Lynch's heat map here where he was throwing pitches today. I talked about this earlier in the pregame, the fact that he wanted to keep stuff low and down and away from the Sox power. That is exactly what he did tonight. The red is good. The red is where he kept hitting spots left and right. That is for a right-handed batter right there. And as you can see, all of those pitches are outside and away to the Sox, except those one, you know, patch right there down and inside by the knees where he was throwing sliders. That is what they did. He was throwing fastballs, and he was just seeing if you could catch up to them, and he wanted you to put them in play, something we were going after the Sox were not doing, especially their 7, 8, and 9 hitters. Daniel Lynch was going after you and using your aggression against you, and it worked.
So wait, are you saying that you as a Major League Baseball team can game plan for a team that you're going against? You just don't have to be the same that you are always.
You don't. You actually can be provided with new information. You can learn from that information, and you can grow from that information. You can implement that information, and you can actually implement that as a game plan, is what they call it.
So Daniel Lynch last year had a 16-plus ERA versus the White Sox, didn't pitch well in two of his three starts. And he's, you know what? I see what the guys did to me the last three starts I pitched. The middle start, I was good. Let's go back to some of the stuff I did that was successful and what these guys are doing early in the season. Let's use that against them. A game plan. Interesting. Very interesting. I wish the White Sox would go home right now. Watch a little film on Zach Greinke early in this season. See what he features. I mean, I know he's been in the league for 19 years, but maybe see what he's going to be throwing you. Timmy, start the game off tomorrow. Take a pitch. I said this last time. Versus Minnesota, he had a home run on the first pitch. It was a good job. It was a good job by Timmy. But take a couple pitches. Take a couple pitches, Andrew Vaughn or whoever's in the two spot. It'll probably be Luis Robert back. Yes, that should help out the offense. Have a different approach. You see what's not working right now. Do something different. You keep on doing the same stuff that teams have adjusted. Just like I said to when Luis Robert in his rookie year was doing well. Same thing with Aloy was doing well, and then they adjusted to him. Slider, 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 slider. They adjust it back to what the pitchers are doing to them, and they became good hitters. That is what the White Sox need to do now. See what they're using their aggression against the White Sox? Okay, cool. As I said today, anything below the belt, let it go. White Sox didn't listen to me. Anything up, let it fly. Crush it. They didn't listen to me on that either. How do I know this? How do I know this? Regular ass Herb.
No, say the real thing.
Regular motherfucking Herb Lawrence. How do I know this? You guys do not.
I don't know. Dude.
Like, it just doesn't make sense, a professional baseball team, that you would think, like, I don't know if they're pressing because it doesn't look like they have urgency.
No, I they think don't. They don't look like they have the urgency. That they was just the think point. Like
they're like, oh, okay, it's early. We'll get out of this. It's cold. All the excuses.
Does D-Chan have a point here?
I don't know if they're arrogant. I can't say that they're arrogant. I really don't have a good enough grasp on what this clubhouse is like, what their makeup is like. I can tell you one thing and one thing only. Their manager's arrogant. Their manager is arrogant and as all loving hell. He's been arrogant his entire managerial career. He's a Hall of Famer baseball person. And when he was faced with his actions and his whole thing, that was his excuse, that he's a Hall of Fame baseball player, a person, and you don't know who I am. And honestly, I understand that's at his worst moment, and that's at his you know, the bad part of his life. And I understand that people change and people can grow from mistakes, but this is a guy that thinks he understands baseball better than anybody else. You have a 6-10 ball game on an 8-game losing streak. Yes, this team is arrogant, and the arrogance shows by Rick Hahn biting his tongue in the media today, saying, "Oh, I had thoughts." That's the first thing that he was asked when you know what about pitching to Byron Buxton? I have thoughts. There is arrogance from Tony La Russa. And I think that, you know, if you don't speak to him the right way after a game, he'll let you know, it's all about winning. My mood's so bad if I don't win a game. Buddy, you just lost 8 fucking straight. And then you have Reese McGuire coming in and pinch hitting for Yasmani Grandal, one of your best hitters. I just don't understand the point when Reese McGuire, like we said, will be starting tomorrow.
Lawrence, can we go up a little bit? The Rusted Coley, I don't know how you say your the one that's up a little bit higher, that one. This one right here, Rick Hahn offseason, you ask your mom to go get you a Coca-Cola at the store, she comes back with Walmart brand cola. Yeah, like he went out and got the bargain basement garbage. Josh Harrison, probably a great guy. Athletic, good at second baseman. He's not good with the bat. He hasn't been good with the bat in a minute. No. I mean, I love A.J. Pollock. He will probably work out eventually. I like the trade that they did for Craig Kimbrel. I have no problem with that one. But also another right-handed hitter, which this is a big-time right-handed team. I don't care about handedness too much because A.J. Pollock is a guy who can do the reverse splits, hits right-handers pretty well. So that's not a big thing, but they need somebody. I know Yo's coming back maybe next week. They need somebody else. Rick Hahn did fail this offseason. I don't care what he says. And I don't care if he has thoughts. Share them with the media. Stop being scared of that guy. Who's firing you? Who's firing you, Rick Hahn? Talk your shit. Talk. If you disagree with Tony La Russa, talk to the media. Talk to him. Say, hey, what you're doing to that team is messing my team up. I didn't do all this stuff so you can fuck up my team. Say it to him. What's he going to do? Not a goddamn thing. Go and tell Jerry, I ain't talking about me. You got to fire him. No, F him. You got to say some words. Stop getting mad at people like me who talk about your team and call you Teflon. Stop getting mad about the dumb shit that happens off the field and get a team ready to play. Get a real team out there, Rick Hahn. I hope you're watching this. I hope somebody tells you about this. And get mad at me. I don't care. Do something else. You are failing. Hey. You are failing, Rick Hahn. You are failing, Tony Russo. You are failing, White Sox. You're all failing. I'm tired of it. You guys worry about the wrong shit all the time. Are you wearing a Cubs head here at this game? Are you talking about us in the score? No, who cares? Worry about the 28 men you have on the field. Worry about not giving a contract to garbage players. 3 years, $16 million. Stop playing him in playoff games.
I don't know. Joe Kelly was a great signing.
These are the things I don't like. You say he's arrogant. Yes, he was arrogant in that goddamn press conference. And I get tired of this whole organization because they think their shit doesn't stink. They think they created baseball. They think that we're supposed to fall down to them and beg for their people. I don't care. If Rick Hahn doesn't come on this show, if none of the people from the White Sox come on the show, I don't care. What I want to talk about is, hey, I was wrong about you guys sucking for the first month. In September, man, 90-plus win White Sox team, here you are again. Finally, well,
and to showed that up. Point, too, is, I mean, we want to do this, the CHGO stuff, for you people, the people that are in the chat right now that are frustrated after this loss, because, you know, just like you and I, and you and I being Herb, and just like you and I being the audience, or me being, I being me and you being the audience, I don't know where the hell I'm going with this.
Seriously,
we're all fans here, right? So we're all going to have adverse reactions, especially after an 8-game losing streak.
You know what we need? We need Vinny back. He keeps us calm. But he comes back tomorrow. He keeps us calm and collected.
Here's what he would say. He would say it's a long season.
Well, guys, there's still
May, there's still June, there's still July, there's still August, and there's still September.
He's not wrong.
But he's not wrong, and I love him for that. He keeps us sane. He keeps us level-headed. And I honestly, I remember saying this when we got swept by Cleveland. I was like, you know, they could go 9-6. They could sweep the Twins here and they'll be in first place. Or they can lose and get swept by the Twins. And Vinny's like, well, you don't have to go there. And now we're in an 8-game losing streak. And Vinny has no clue what he is walking into tomorrow. Because I'm going to be so upset if they lose 9 straight. Like, honestly, we need to find a better word for apoplectic.
Infuriated. You see my guy Jimbo? Our guy Jimbo? Right here?
What did Jimbo say?
He knows
you
his
plus me equals us.
He knows his calculus.
Is that calculus?
Those who got it, got it.
I don't get it. You got to help me out here. Come on. I'm
together.
Sorry.
The show together. Together. Who got
what that? Year is that from? Lawrence, come on.
No, Together was like in the 2000s. You were alive for that. It was like a parody of a boy band. I know my calculus. Oh, sorry.
I'm like another show from the 2000s. You? I'm lost.
Plus me equals us. Does no one know what together is? You guys are all...
Eight is enough, you know?
What Jackie I'm got it. Thank you.
She got it, unfortunately. No one knows what...
Thank you.
Together.
Together, so that's what it was.
Was the fake band called Together?
Yes, and they actually did real songs. Like, it was Kevin Farley, so like Chris Farley's brother was in the band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a guy who... In the show was dying, and in real life he died of a rare disease.
The only one I'm finding is this Thai show.
No, two, you gotta spell it like that. Together.
Okay, Together was an American fictional boy band whose compositions and format are satirical approach to boy bands such as. Okay, all right, yeah. Brian Gunn and Mark.
I mean,
Gunn
I didn't think Herb was lying. I don't know what you're saying.
No, I didn't either. Okay. But it's just it's interesting to learn about this.
It was on MTV.
TVT. No?
No, it's on MTV. It might have been on Canadian TV. KPW might tell us.
Yeah, I don't think KPW was watching Together.
I mean, he's probably your age. Like, you're both young. He's yeah, like I 21. Think, I think he's he in, might be younger. He's in university. Do they say that in Canada?
I think
he's
they
in
do.
University. Organization.
And they're colors.
Yes.
Because they use with
up
everything.
At the six. My Canadian accent is terrible.
If you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. Not only are you going to get
Chicago?
Two risk-free... I don't know what I was trying to do there. I was just trying
no,
to
that was
it.
Great. You sounded like Shiny from the South Side.
Did I? Damn. Not only are you going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet, you'll receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. Yeah, it does sound too Chicago.
Yes.
And you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, you can email pointsbet@allchgo.com and we will help you out. And in case you missed it, online signup is available in Illinois. You can download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. You'll be signing up with the fastest sportsbook easier than ever, so you can start living your bet life in seconds. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Poutine.
Got up.
Saskatchewan.
Poutine.
Moose. Tim Horton.
audit Tony. No, see, I want to go keep going into Chicago. Can anyone here do a Canadian accent?
You can't do that on television.
You can't do that on television, eh?
I actually once played a Canadian on a Fox Sportsnet pregame show, Blackhawks versus Maple Leafs, and I just kept saying my little catchphrase was, "What's that about, eh?" It was terrible, and I didn't care. It was kind of fun to be on TV for.
What's that about, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a hoser there, eh? You're going over to Tim Hortons to go get a cup of Joe, eh? Ah, it's freezing. It's negative 30 degrees outside.
Timbits.
Oh, my fingertips are cold. I should have wore a long sleeve with this 30-degree weather.
Do you know Canada is the only country I've been to other than this one?
I've been to Ireland.
I went to like 30 minutes of Canada. I didn't have a...
Did you go to Niagara Falls?
No, I was like in Detroit. We had some time before the game. We just crossed over the border real quick. I was like, I don't have my passport. I was like, yeah, fine, get over there. And then the guy's like, you might have trouble coming back in the States. Went for 30 minutes, looked at the Detroit skyline from the Canada side, went right back. They're like, get your ass back to America. We don't want you here.
And Jack apparently called 6-12 when they were 6-3. Why would you do that, Jack? And why would you come and brag about it?
Did you bet on that, Jack?
Weird.
Did you go to points bet and bet on that? Yeah, you could have got a couple dollars, brother.
Bet against the White Sox 9 straight times? I don't understand.
I mean, there's 2 more games left, Jack. Bet on those next 2 games. Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech the next 2 days. Bet against the White Sox.
Yeah, Zach Greinke tomorrow. We'll see how the White Sox can do with him. They're not going to draw a walk from him, so I don't know. Let's talk real quick. There was a question here from Melissa. Scrolled up just a little bit more, Lawrence. I'm sorry that I didn't flag it a little bit earlier, but it's right there. I don't understand how things went extremely wrong for us from the first 9 games. First off, the pitching has still been all right. The White Sox have been getting good enough pitching to win these games. The issue is just their offensive approach. If we can go into that a little bit more. Going into this game, they were drawing 5. Let me see, make sure I had this number right. It was 3.85 pitches per plate appearance. League average is 3.91. So they're below average at pitches per plate appearance. But the biggest thing that sticks out to me is their first pitch swinging percent, 38.3%. They are swinging at the first pitch more than anyone else is. And I think that's where the big issue comes from. You see it with TA. You see it from Andrew Vaughn in the first at-bats. They are swinging pretty recklessly out there. And the thing is these guys are locating their pitches, and they're just making sure that it stays away from the power alleys for these guys. They're staying away from those power places, the middle of the zone. They're making sure it's down and low and away and keeping it away from the Sox barrels. And, you know, you're not getting true barrels from the White Sox, and, you know, they're over-aggression is leading guys to just continue to throw them in the zone, and they know the Sox are going to swing, Herb, so they're either going to get a swing and miss, or they're going to get 18 fouls like Daniel Lynch got off of his fastball today. They didn't get out slider today. They just couldn't make solid contact because I think they were being too aggressive. Yeah. They're trying to fight everything off.
And Daniel Lynch and the rest of the league knows that balls are not carrying out. They're not flying out. So here's my fastball, 95 up top. Hit it as you can. Hit it as far as you can, White Sox. And Jake Berger did. And it didn't go out. So that had to give him confidence. Yeah. I mean, they know the White Sox are going to be impatient. And so they're going to use it against them. And once you get into a hitter's count, they're just going to throw the ball over the middle. Well, and because they know that you're not going to take walks. And they know it 100%.
Talk about hitter's counts. The White Sox have been in the lowest amount of 2-0 counts in the MLB, 10.2. The lowest is the Cardinals from 11.3. So there's a full percentage difference on 2-0 counts that they're seeing. They're seeing the least in Major League Baseball right now. And 3-0 counts, they are seeing the fourth least in baseball. Sorry, the third least in baseball at 3%. Only the Cardinals and Royals are below them. And I think the Royals probably jumped them after today's performance, seeing so many 3-0 counts. So I mean, that's the issue with the Sox is they're not putting themselves into advantageous situations. We see Yermín Mercedes putting himself into advantageous situations yesterday or last year. Obviously, we know that, you know, that was a position player out there, but that's the first thing that sticks out to me when you talk about 3-0 counts and the White Sox. But that is also where Yasmani Grandal made his bread and butter. Yasmani Grandal is swinging about 10% more this year than he was last year. And we saw that he was consistently drawing hitters counts, and that would then lead players and pitchers to throw balls over the middle of the plate to try to get a strike, and Yasmani Grandal would tag them.
And you remember, we talked about how White Sox batters, when they would get into 2-0 or 3-1 counts in the Minnesota series specifically, they would have some lazy swings where they're letting the ball get deep. Like, I don't know what they're looking for. 3-1 count, I'm looking dead red. I'm looking to drive. Right-handed hitters letting the ball get deep, and the ball's going out to right field or getting fouled over the first base dugout. That should never happen on 3-1 count. You should be looking dead red. If they throw you a curveball, you look silly, cool. Change up, whatever. You look silly, cool. You got to go out all out on 3-1-2-0. It's been way too many at-bats this year that they really haven't sold out and had the advantage of the pitch and taken advantage of it. So, yeah. And, yeah, Jack, I just, like, go this last month, got my passport. So, all-inclusive Cancun sounds good if you're buying.
Yeah, Jack, you taking Herb on that mailman salary? I mean, Herb going to Cancun.
Mail folks make a lot of money.
Oh, they do. They're government employees, and they're hardworking people working through rain, snow, sunshine.
And don't they work on Sunday now?
Yeah, isn't it 24/7?
I mean, they don't work
365.
They don't work on Sundays. Christmas, I mean, Christmas I don't know Eve. If they deliver on Sunday. I'm sure they work on Sundays now.
I don't know. I have no idea. Mailman Jack, let us know if you work CHGO on Sundays.
CHGO to Mexico. Yeah, let's go.
That'd be fun. It'd be a great way to have some fun because apparently Tony La Russa and the White Sox are not.
We might have it right after October 5th or 6th, right after the season ends, because the White Sox might not go to the playoffs. They don't win this division. Let me put this down. They don't win this division, not going to the playoffs.
Ding.
That's guaranteed.
Tony La Russa after the game. We have the right people. We'll all be right. The sooner, the better, though. We're not having any fun. No shit, Tony. You've lost 8 straight.
Whose fault
games.
Is that? I can't imagine who it is.
Well, it's Tony's fault. It's the player's fault. It's the roster construction fault. And it's also the weather's fault, right? Because that apparently only affects the White Sox. It is the ball's fault as well. The ball is completely deadened. There's 2 balls that they're currently playing with. Old friend James McCann said that the deadened ball...
Are you doing
ball,
a Manscaped ad?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Different balls. The deadened balls have bigger seams and they feel waterlogged. So that was probably a deadened ball that Jake Berger smacked 105 miles per hour. That would have been a home run in 30 ballparks except for guaranteed right field. But Tony also said at this level, it's mostly between the ears. Between the ears, the heart, the guts. And we need to have some success to get it rolling. Like tomorrow afternoon. Between the ears, the heart, and the guts.
I mean... It is mental. I don't know if it's the heart. I mean, I'm sure
they're playing with heart right now. Do you?
I think it's more mental than them not trying. I don't know how you cannot be ready for this season. You had a whole lockout where you're like, man, I'll do anything to play baseball, especially right now because we're really good. We want to win our championship this year, win the AL Central, and compete for that championship. But, nope, the White Sox are just lackadaisical. Let's see what Ralph had to say. Should we not hold Jose Abreu accountable for this? He is the captain, and TLR might listen to him.
We don't know.
I mean, that error he made is inexcusable. It's a ball that's kind of low. It's like a kind of handcuffing him, but he's a first baseman of a long time. So catch the ball. It shouldn't hit your heel. You see the ball. See it into your glove. Catch it. You have a pitcher out there, Dallas Keuchel, that pitches to contact. The last thing he needs is airs to breathe life into an offense that is not that good.
Well, and Fred's asking, is he calling them out? I don't think he's calling them out. I think just the biggest point is that they're not having fun. I mean, you can look at the Brian Goodwin thing and the Billy Hamilton thing last year. They all talked about this being like a high school team and them having fun. And I honestly don't know if maybe this is the target being painted on their back and maybe expectations are too high and they feel the pressure of every loss and every loss feels bigger the more and more and more and more it piles on. That could be the sense right now for the Sox. I don't think Tony's calling out his players there, but I do think that them not having fun is leading to them letting this spiral and fall into the same traps day after day after day after day, and that is on the manager to make them have fun and make sure that it doesn't feel like pressure is on them once they show up to the clubhouse that day. So, I mean, it's going to be pressure off a little bit tomorrow with Dylan Cease, you know, pitching-wise, all right, we're going to get a great effort from our starting pitcher, but offensively, the pressure should be on.
I mean, think about this. I think about this, like, when this losing streak started. The Minnesota Twins last year were supposed to compete with the White Sox for the AL Central crown. They got off to a bad start and never recovered. Brian Buxton got hurt, and they never recovered. They were bad. I think they were, fourth in the AL Central last year, if not last. this could be the White Sox. And I heard in that comment a little urgency from Tony La Russa. We need to start doing it tomorrow. Tomorrow needs to be a win. That's urgency. They need that. They need to understand that this season can get away from you right goddamn now.
Could have gotten away from you after 7 games. Like, yeah. Why do we have this urgency? We should have heard this urgency after Sunday's game.
Something.
It's a little too late. I don't know. I mean, not a little too late, because, I mean, there's still 100-plus games to play. And I don't think TLR has lost the team. I don't think that's something that's happened yet.
I'm sure a couple players, because they're baseball players. They understand the game. I'm sure a couple players questioned Tony's decision. I don't know if they said it out loud to him. Questioned his decision to pitch to Buxton right there. And they probably were like, you're not putting us in the best position to win.
And he's done that multiple times. I mean, you can look back at in May, he put Hendricks on second base as a runner against the Reds. Didn't put them in a position to win that game in 2021. And the series in New York last year as well. I think people couldn't argue, you know, the playoff series, there was a couple things that he did wrong.
But the thing is, the winning the AL Central, it cures a lot of what ails you. You can wipe away a lot of the dirt when you win. And people think about the results, like, oh, man, we had a good result at the end of the year. We won the AL Central. Yeah, we looked bad versus Houston, but we're good. We're coming. We're in our contention window. And so the winning cured and covered a lot of garbage. And now that garbage is not getting covered up by winning, because the team is not executing on the field. They're not executing at the plate at all.
Amen. That's going to do it for the CHGO White Sox podcast. The White Sox lose their 8th straight, 6-0 to the Kansas City Royals. We thought all the overs going to hit because Daniel Lynch is on the mound. Oh, they've lost 7 straight. There's finally a lefty on the bump. It's all BS, and they need to show it to us tomorrow. They need to show us a better effort tomorrow at 1:10 versus the Royals. We will have a pregame for you at 12:30 p.m. postgame after the last out is made. We'll have Dylan Cease versus Zach Greinke. We will preview that matchup. And Herb, I don't feel good about it, but hopefully I can sleep it off. I don't know about you.
I'm going to try to sleep it off. I'm going to try to get some CBD coffee in me, some Strava coffee.
I am out, and I need it badly, but you know, we'll figure it out. We'll figure out something. Maybe I'll just there's a couple of things that people put on Twitter. We put out a thing like, I'd rather be doing blank than watch the White Sox game. So I might take some of those you know, suggestions and see what I can do. What was yours?
Mine was clean a Port-a-John.
Ooh.
After a chili cookout.
No, thank you. I would rather watch the White Sox game like I will do tomorrow at 1:10. Sox versus Royals. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, at least it'd just be disgusting. You wouldn't be sad and angry.
I used to have to clean the bathrooms at Jewel. And what I would do is I would go into the bathrooms when I had to clean the bathrooms at Jewel, stand in there for 5 minutes, and then walk out. I'm not cleaning a bathroom. No way in hell.
And that's why you don't work at Jewel anymore.
Gross. Literally. Yeah. But I mean, I would rather be scanning, you know, your little groceries here and putting away your little carts and bagging away your little groceries than cleaning up a bathroom.
Good night, Baloney.
God, I'm done with
and
that.
And Jimbo, Coke for everyone, courtesy of Jimbo. Thanks, Jimbo.
Thank you, Jimbo. Go get coked up with our guy, Jimbo. That's going to do it for Herb Lawrence. You can follow him on Twitter at
EchnerWall23. That's an official sign from CHGO Sports.
Yes, it is. Jack, especially relax. To the kids. Jack, you are being absolutely too negative. We get it. The White Sox are going to be 12-28, and they're going to lose tomorrow at 1:10. Oh, my God. Much negativity is not good for somebody.
I mean, they're not going to lose at 1:10. They're probably going to lose more at like 4 o'clock.
It's pretty long. I mean, if it was a pitch clock, it'd be like 3:43. Anyways, for Herb Lawrence, you can follow me on Twitter at EchnerWall23. I'm Sean Anderson. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean_W_Anderson. You can follow the show at CHGO_White Sox for our great producer, Lawrence, the Law Dog. And thank you to everybody for jumping in the chat and, you know, taking us through this loss and talking us through this.
I feel a little bit
session.
Better. Thanks, stupid donkey.
I do. Thank you, stupid donkey, and Jimbo and Jack and Baloney and Mailman Jack and Kevin and Andres and Kat Shep. And Jackie and Shep. Thank you all.
KPW.
And thank you to all of Fleetwood Mac for their 1979 album, Tusk. We will talk to you tomorrow, and go Sox.